Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's show is part of our classics collection. As you know, some programs need to be brought back because of their impact. This is actually part two of a special rebroadcast that we put together with Roy Sukuma, our featured guest. I'm joined with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva. And now, enjoy this time with Roy Sukuma. Yesterday, we had a very meaningful time, to say the least, with Roy. And as he shared really some things that most people in Hawaii, Roy, just have no idea what you went through. And the magnitude and the compounding effect of what happened, you know, in this part of your life and another part. I mean, the pain and suffering that you went through growing up as a child and how it went through even through your growing up years, adolescence, teens. But then what God has used, how God has used that to make you the man you are today. I feel that today there are people who are looking for hope, that there's somebody who needs a shot in the arm, as it were, a boost of encouragement. And we want to let you know, as a listener, that we consider you a friend and that we want you to become a member of the community of the Good Life, in the Good Life community. But in doing that, understand that Jesus is calling you. Jesus Christ is calling you. My co-host and I, Carlos and Leslie, you know, we can testify, like Roy, of the amazing things God has done in our life. And we know that He can do it in your life too if you would open your heart to Him. Just say in your heart, Lord, I open my heart to hear You. And I want to be responsive to You. Because Jesus, you know, He came, He died on the cross for our sins, shed His blood on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised again. And offers new life to all who call upon Him. Since 1971, Roy Sukuma and his sponsors have been keeping the ukulele alive and well by presenting the annual Ukulele Festival, presented every July at the Kapi'olani Park Bandstand in Waikiki. It is by far the largest of its kind in the world, attracting an audience of literally thousands to a free two-hour concert that showcases the finest ukulele players, along with national celebrities, Hawaii's top entertainers, and a ukulele orchestra of more than 800 students, mostly children. Mm-hmm. In 2004, Roy and Kathy Sukuma established Ukulele Festival Hawaii, a charitable nonprofit organization. And on Sunday, July 18th, 2010, just a couple of months away, just a little while away, Ukulele Festival Hawaii presents the 40th annual. Roy, you look too young to have the 40th annual. 40. The 40th annual festival, Ukulele Festival at Kapi'olani Park Bandstand, right there in Waikiki. Again, Sunday, July 18th, 2010. From 9:30 to 1:30 p.m. And one of the great things about it is that admission is free. Mm. Like I was saying in our last show, Roy, you talked about how you grew up, but God was preparing you, creating in you a heart of understanding and compassion, giving you a real love for people, It was also developing a dream in your heart, one that has grown into something very big and has influenced literally hundreds of thousands of people in more than three decades. Roy, welcome back to our show.
Thank you. I'm very, very honored to be here again. Thank you so much.
Roy, we talked a bit about your mom. You touched a little bit on this in the last show, but tell us about your dad.
My dad was rarely at home. He was always out during the day playing a Japanese go at Kukui Mortuary. I remember those days. And his father had left him some land, so he had some rental properties, and that's what he did. That's all I can remember my father did. But as a father, even if he wasn't home most of the time because of the difficulty in having a relationship with my mother, I always looked up to him so much. And whenever we were together, even if it was for a little while, I felt comfortable, you know, being around with him. And I would try and talk to him sometimes about the struggles that I went through, but it's hard. It's hard to really talk about it. Mm-hmm. But as a whole, I remember one thing he's told me and one thing he said that has carried me through life was that he says, if you're ever in a situation where one of you is going to get hurt, as much as possible, you take the hurt. Mm-hmm. And I've lived my life with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's worked for me. It's worked for me, but it's just something that I believe in. And because I believe in it, you can make things work out for the best.
And you've seen that happen in your business too, right?
Yes, I've seen it happen everywhere. And it's just a matter of, I've been in many situations in business or in personal life where people feel that, hey, they don't get enough recognition or there's not enough, you know, they deserve more. And I've never resisted. Mm. I said, okay, take more. Okay. Mm-hmm. But in every situation, they've come back and said, you know, I was wrong. Hmm. You know, I was just being a little more for whatever reason. And so it strengthens relationships because the respect becomes stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really helped me. It's been one of the foundations that has really, really helped me in my relationship with other people in business, with our employees, with everything we do.
That's really amazing, because when you think about how all the things that you have gone through, it would have been so easy to be opposite of that, to be angry, resentful, you know, feeling like I'm owed something for everything I've been through.
To have kind of a
entitlement
mentality.
Because of everything I've struggled with, you know, and why
also,
not me?
And also to try to, you know, keep what you have.
Yes.
You know, hold on, you know, with a clenched fist.
Yes.
As opposed to an open hand.
Yes.
Well, one of the things I can remember, you know, when I first started working like that was that, you know, when you feel like, you know, you're working and people want to get the better of you or for whatever things. You know, I can remember when I started working for the Department of Parks and Recreation, you know, within a year, I was a groundskeeper, by the way, 21 years old.
Wow.
They called me in the office and says, you're getting promoted.
Hmm.
And I says, what? They says, we're going to make you a supervisor. But I says, how can you do that? There's been people working here for 15, 20 years, the same title as me, groundskeeper. How can you give me that job? They said, you deserve it. And I says, well, you know, I don't think so because I've only had a year experience. They says, well, too bad. It's your job. And when, you know, during those days, everybody finds out about things because there's shop stewards like that. There's a union. And so I don't get promoted to the first of the month. And everybody turned against me, you know, because now I was a backstabber. Mm. And so during lunch, everybody sat away from me.
Hmm.
But you know what I did? I went and sat with them. And not one person said anything negative. And I learned from that lesson that when people say negative things about me, and you mentioned this earlier on the last talk, that it comes from a hurtful place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so one of the things I grew up, I can remember all the kids talking about other kids, you know, criticizing them and talking down about other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I never did. And the reason I never did is because I always felt that I was worse off than everybody else. And if I was worse off than everybody else, then I didn't have the right to speak ill about other people. Mm-hmm. But that helped me through my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't speak about other people's, you know, in a negative way, because mm-hmm. I have no right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting about that, too? We're talking a little bit about forgiveness, because, you know, you would think that having mm-hmm. gone through so much with people and so many people hurting you in one way or another, that there would be something in you that would be unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. And yet there was so much hope with you, and that's the one thing that doesn't seem to have accumulated in your heart, you know, as an obstacle to moving forward. The forgiveness, the ability to forgive.
I've always had the ability. I don't understand it when I was younger time that I had the ability to forgive. But as I went through life, and I, you know, again, as I look back on my life, I see how God was there kind of preparing me or helping me, mm-hmm. or what I had gone through as a child, even if there was hurt and pain, mm-hmm. was preparing me, that it was giving me, as I healed, I could see the bigger picture.
Yes.
Right.
You know, and that's what I think that was really important for me, because, you know, no matter how bad things look, you know, it's really our perception of what that incident is.
Mm-hmm.
And as you, if you can see the silver lining, whether it's good or bad, you know, the world is big, but so is the big picture in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it these type of things really help me to get through dealing with other people. Because as I grew older and you get a job, you're mm-hmm. always dealing with people.
Yes.
Speaking about your job, so this job as a groundskeeper, where were you a groundskeeper at?
I was at Kapi'olani Park Bandstand. Kapi'olani Park. Right where the ukulele festival is.
That's
so what had happened is, you know, when I got the promotion and I had five people work for me, the first job the boss gives
and this
me.
This is you're 21 years old, right?
Yeah, 21 and barely 22. Okay. We have to clean Kapi'olani Waikiki, that water fountain.
Mm.
You know that big fountain?
Yes.
But you got to remember, this is 1970, and all we had was these little wire brushes to scrape off all that green, you know, algae like
yeah.
that. And everybody hated. They resisted. No one would go in with me. They said, we ain't doing this. We're going to call our union steward. We ain't going in. Well, I didn't want to turn the guys in, so I went in by myself to clean it.
Mm.
And as I was in there cleaning it by myself, one by one, they came in to help me. Mm. And it was kind of funny, because all through the day while we're working in that hot sun cleaning, they're complaining, this is not my job. I am going to complain. I'm going to tell my union, you know. But what happened? See, that's the lesson I learned, was lead by example.
Yes.
If I want someone to do something, and that's what I did, mm-hmm. by going in there first, it taught me, boy, they came in.
Yes.
And I was able to make these guys, through all of us together, we became the hardest working crew in Waikiki.
Wow.
And it was a blessing, because, you know, within a year, I was transferred out of Parks Department. I became a recreation assistant.
Mm.
And what had happened is, one day when we were eating lunch at Kapi'olani Park Bandstand, I said, oh, I wish I could put on an ukulele festival. And the person next to me, unbeknownst to me, was a psychology teacher at Leeward Community College. And he said, dreams come true. And you know, that hit me.
Wow.
And based on that, every day after work, I went to City Hall and inquired, how do I put on an ukulele festival? And within 6 months, I put on the first annual ukulele festival as a groundskeeper. I was still a groundskeeper. So I learned another great lesson, that dreams come true. You just pursue your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Now, ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start playing?
I started playing the ukulele when I was 16. I actually tried learning when I was 10, but everybody said I had no gift for the ukulele. I tried at 12. I tried at 14. My sister pleaded with me. She had a pot with a stick. She said, "Roy, listen to the radio. Just hit the pot with the beat." I couldn't. But, you know, I years later, I understood because I never listened to the radio. Yeah. There was no radio in the house. My mother never turned on the radio. So I never heard music. Yeah. So I couldn't do this. And my sister gave up for me. She said, "You will never learn to play the ukulele." And then at 16 years old, I meet Ota-san, you know, who had a big hit on the radio called Sushi. And I asked him to teach me. And the funny story is that years later, he told me that when I walked in and I asked if he would teach me, he says, "You know, Roy," he says, "I wanted to fight you."
I must have
come in with bad body language or something, you know, 16 years old, uh-huh. still struggling with myself.
Yeah.
But learning from him, I learned discipline.
Mm. Yes.
And it really helped me. The ukulele, I can honestly say, was a big part in helping me to stop making bad choices in life.
Mm. Roy, how did you pick the ukulele? How did you pick that up and say, "This is it. This is what I want to do"?
Once I started learning from Ota-san, I got so involved. I loved it so much. I loved the challenge of it that I used to practice 8-10 hours a day. And by practicing so long hours, you don't go out with the other kids, so you don't get in trouble.
Mm.
You know? And that's why it really helped me. It focused so much. When the kids used to come over, "Hey, Roy, come on, we're going to go so-and-so," I wouldn't go because I had already gotten in trouble. I had gone to detention home for a little while, and you know, I'd been questioned by the police for something else. And I never hurt somebody, but I made bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
But now I was turning my life around.
You know, the ukulele was used to help you gain some focus in life.
Yes, definitely.
And a legendary teacher. And there's some things that I'd like to hear when we come back from our break about some lessons you learned from Ota-san. And some things that helped shape you that went along with extreme dedication that will lend itself eventually to someone being a real, real pro, which you've become. So when we come back, we're going to hear more from Roy Sukuma and what God was doing in his life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700-998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. online. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Stories that relate with your life right where you are. Those are the stories we want to bring to you, just like today in our special rebroadcast program, which you're listening to right now. It's part of the Classics Collection of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more about our show and to hear the program in its entirety, if you're just joining us, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Another quick reminder, my new book, Winner's Edge, is now available. It's a collection of quotes, motivational, inspirational type quotes that I've collected over the years. It's available for you. Plus, my book, Paradise Calls, is now available in e-published form at Amazon Kindle. Now, join me with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva, and our featured guest in part two with Roy Sakuma. Roy, you know, we talked about, you know, how dedicated you were. Carlos was mentioning during the break of some characteristics that he noticed just from yesterday, from the program, previous program, as well as this program, about you.
You know, Roy, it's apparent that you don't stop. And many of times in life, we are right on the brink of what God has in store for us, but we stop short of it because we give up. Mm-hmm. Each time I listen to your story, each time you pressed on, there was a blessing waiting for you, and you were able to receive that blessing because you didn't give up. And that is a tremendous trademark that not very many people possess. And in spite of all that you were going through, you still pushed on.
You know, and the scriptures teach about perseverance and proven character.
Mm.
And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint.
Yes.
And that's the reward or the result of perseverance are those very things. And we can see it in you. Now, the legendary Ota-san, he taught you. What kind of a teacher was he, Roy?
Very strict, but very good. You see, he was a Marine sergeant.
Mm. Oh.
He when he got out of the Marines, he was a Marine sergeant, so he had that discipline in him, and I really needed that. I needed that. And I learned from him from 18 months, no matter what he put in front of me, no matter what he asked me to learn, I always came back and I could play it. Mm. Even if I had to practice 10 hours, 20 hours to learn that difficult piece of music, I would learn it. And he gave me everything that I needed because he was a disciplinarian. He yet he had a great heart. He had a really good heart. And I owe so much more than just the ukulele lessons, because what had happened is after I had learned everything, he told me after 18 months, go on your own. What I've taught you in 5 years, you've learned in 18 months. I mean, so what he taught me in 18 months took him 5 years to learn.
Wow.
So I went on my own. He calls me one day, says, Roy, do you want to just come to my studio? I'm teaching an adult class, a new adult class of 25 adults. All you got to do is tune up the ukulele. And I was probably about 18 and a half, 19. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, I can do that. So I tuned up all the adult ukuleles, and he gave the first lesson. And in the second lesson, he tells me, by the way, I'm going to Japan. You're teaching my class. And I never taught. I was petrified. I says, I cannot teach. He said, no, you can teach. Just da-da-da-da-da. Just do that. So I went home. And coming to what you're just saying to me, it hit a bell, because I went home, and during that week, I practice the same way I practice the ukulele. I practice 10 hours a day. But the difference is I practice talking to the walls, the mirror, the chair, the carpet. And I would think of what are the adults going to ask me? And then I would try to answer. And I always, always got tongue-tied. Yeah. But I kept on trying. So by the end of that week, when he went to Japan, and now I had to face his whole adult class and teach, when I walked into that room, I was so calm. And I taught, and I was so comfortable teaching them. And the beauty is, during the 2 weeks that I taught them once a week, they asked if I'm going to continue teaching them. And I said, well, Ota-san's returned. And they said, well, do you think, you know, you could be our teacher? And I says, really? So that gave me a lot of confidence. So Ota-san returns from Japan, and the first thing he tells me is, how was teaching? Oh, it was fine. I loved it. You want to teach my classes? And I was so shocked. Really? He says, yeah. You want to teach my students? You can teach them all.
Wow.
And I got into teaching. That was it. That was a very short talk. You want to teach? Yeah. Okay. And so I'm very honored. I was very thankful to Ota-san. So he did so much for me. And till this day, I have the highest respect for him.
Awesome.
Awesome. And that was the launching of the career.
That was my launching of my career as an ukulele instructor. And thanks to him, he gave me the opportunity to teach.
And he also taught you the most treasured lesson of training trainers.
Training trainers, yes, yes. You know, because now I'm able to help so many people.
Yes.
You know, I can help people. And because I've been through so much, I guess what happens is that I can see the vulnerable spots in people and help these people to get through it so that they can become more relational with others.
Right.
Yeah. It's been a blessing. It's really been a I told my wife, I says, my passion in my life, and I told her this 3 years ago, my passion in my life is helping as many people, especially children, that I can. And she told me, but you already do that because you teach. And when you teach children, you're doing that. But it's gone further now.
When we come back from our break, there's a famous song that Roy Sakumo wrote. I remember when I was a little boy. And I would say that most every kid that grew up in my time knows that song. But Roy, when we come back, I want you to tell us about that song. And then we're going to talk about how Christ came into your life. And now how God is using you even in schools to reach so many more young people at a very tender time in life.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinena Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
And it is those sponsors like Kulopo Painting Incorporated and Dr. Calvin Oishi, the orthopedic surgeon, that make this available to you, this very special time with, in part two of this feature with Roy Sukuma of the Classics Collection here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org and join me now with my co-host, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva with part two of this feature with Roy Sukuma.
You know, Roy, before we went on break, Danny was mentioning about this famous song that you wrote. Tell us about that song.
This song, the interesting thing is that when I was growing up learning to play the ukulele and playing a lot, I never sang because people would tell me, don't sing, you sound flat. So, it gave me a complex. So I wouldn't sing, but I would play the ukulele. And one day during my loneliest, weakest moment, I picked up the ukulele and I started strumming and I started singing this song. And fortunately, well, what was good is that I had a photographic memory. So after singing what I sang, I could immediately pick up a pencil and write down what I sang. Yeah. Not just the words, but I could also write the notation down. And you know, little did I realize that that song that it just poured out of my heart would be a song that so many people would sing. Mm-hmm. And today how so many kids are gravitating and it's helping them through their struggles. Mm-hmm. And the song was entitled, I Am What I Am. Mm-hmm. And those words that poured out of me when I just picked up my ukulele were, I am what I am, I'll be what I'll be, look, can't you see that it's me, all of me? I am what I am, I'll be what I'll be, look, can't you see that it's me? And, you know, I realized that those words really, really meant what I was trying to say. You know, I was trying to be that. You know, I was trying to be I am what I am, but I was struggling with it. Mm-hmm. But having those words pour out of me, it said, wow, I really like this song. And I would kind of play it by myself, you know, when nobody's around, and sing those words.
You play it for yourself when no one's around, but many have played it, many of your students, and like I said, growing up. But can you play it for us now and our dear listening audience, Roy?
Well, okay, I mean, yeah, I don't have to have that. I'm just going to sing this song from my heart.
Sing it from your heart.
Yes.
It goes like this. I am what I am, I'll be what I'll be. Look, can't you see that it's me, all of me? I am what I am. I'll be what I'll be. Look, can't you see that it's me? It's such a simple lyric, simple melody. But we should all try it together. You folks ready? Let's try it one time. Ready? Here we go.
I am what I am.
I'll be what I'll be.
I'll be what I'll be.
Look, can't you see?
Look, can't you see that it's me, all of me?
I am what I am.
I am what I am.
I'll
be what I'll be.
Look, can't you see?
Look, can't you see that it's me?
Love it. You know that song, when I listen to you, it's like the cry of a child's heart, really. And when you think about when you were a child and what mm-hmm. you were going through, and now you're pouring into the lives of hundreds, millions of children, empowering them. And, you know, you hear these lyrics, and it's like some children are crying out, I am what I am. I'll be what I'll be. With God's grace, I will be what I will be. It's beautiful.
You know, I just see it as a cry to God. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible tells us that one of the names of God is I Am. And you're saying to God, God, here I am.
Yes.
This is me. Mm-hmm. What can you do with me? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the mighty things that he have done with you.
Mm-hmm. Roy, tell us, it's simple and short. It's very profound.
It's yes,
very,
it
very,
is.
Very
yes.
profound. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your spiritual journey, Roy. And how you came into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
I believe, you know, it was about 3 years ago where I just accidentally bumped into my good friend, and I asked him, what are you doing? And he said, oh, Roy, I'm going to church on Sundays. And interestingly, it's been in the back of my mind. You know, I think I need to go to church. Mm. I think I need to go to church and somehow get my life straightened out. I mean, I was doing a lot of good things. I felt good about myself in a lot of ways, but there was something missing. And so I decided to go. I said, okay, I'll go with you to church. And my wife, who was, not sure about whether to go to church too, came with me. Mm-hmm. And we went together. And it was very interesting because as I sat there in church, I don't think I've ever said this, but I felt during the sermon a lot of brokenness mm-hmm. in the room. Mm-hmm. And I whispered to my wife, I says, honey, I feel all this brokenness in here. And she looks at me and says, really? I says, yeah, I feel it. And so, you know, the sermon was completed. And then as time goes on, you realize that people, you know, I thought people that go to church were just perfect, healed, and everything was right, you know. So, and then I started to understand that, you know, everybody is going through their challenges,
yes,
mm-hmm. and you know, praying to God, mm-hmm. and so what had happened is, my heart poured out. I was driving one day, and I could visualize talking to the church people, like it was like I was talking to them and telling them to, you know, just let go of some of the things that we hold back, mm-hmm. and I got consumed by this, it felt like an electrical force had just gripped my entire body. And it was like just this energy force. And I got scared and I pulled over to the side of the road. I called my niece, who was, you know, really reading a lot about the Bible, and she gave me a phone number to call. And I called this lady and she says, oh, I was expecting your call. Mm-hmm. And then she told me, don't fight this force. And, you know, I believe now from everything I'm starting to learn that it was probably the Holy Spirit coming to me and, you know, encouraging me to go on this journey to help people. Because around that same time, there was this voice in me saying, go to schools. But I was thinking, well, what am I going to school? Okay, I guess I got to go to school and maybe sing to the kids and play I Am What I Am. Mm-hmm. But that was the start. And from doing that song, it opened up a whole new chapter in my life of how the words that I believe the Lord has spoken through me has helped kids through their struggles in life.
Yes.
So now you experience what you felt was the Holy Spirit coming over you.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you come to grips with the reality that, okay, now it's not just God, some esoteric being, a big force out there, but a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. How did that happen?
I think it was a combination of my wife and I, as we started to learn more about the Bible and church. We were still infants, you know, everything was still new to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people were getting baptized, and I never was baptized or anything like that, and I had no idea what it was. And my wife and I talked about it, but you know, we were feeling like we were coming closer to the Lord, that there were things that were, like you mentioned earlier, the clouds start to go away and you see things a little better, but we were still so far away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my wife one day saying, "Honey, it's time for us to get baptized."
Mm-hmm.
And so one day on a Sunday, we went down to the water and, you know, we got baptized. And it was real interesting because there's three of us. The first child goes in, gets baptized. Then my wife goes in. It's a clear day. No wave, nothing. And then I go in there, and then all of a sudden, this huge wave comes and knocks me and the pastor off. And so we get organized again, and another one comes in and hits us.
And that's a double baptism.
I hope so. I hope that was positive.
Yeah, that was just God saying, we're going to make sure I clean this.
Had a lot to clean.
It's like, here you are at last. You know, we're going to do this big.
Yeah.
And now, what church do you go to?
I go to Imago Dei Community Church, which is located close to Radford High School.
Okay.
Pastor Steve Page is the pastor. And my wife and I are very comfortable there. And, you know, it's a learning process. And so I'm getting to understand more about the Lord. And one of the interesting things is I rarely read books.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. I don't have the attention span. But last year, as I started to come closer to the Lord, I read the Bible.
Wow.
And my goal was to finish the Bible by the end of the year, which I did. And of course, there's so much information, you only retain a portion of it.
Yes.
But two things hit me in that Bible. Everything I read, and I remember was in Corinthians. One was forgiveness.
Mm.
That was so important.
Mm, you mentioned that, Leslie.
Yeah, and I was talking about that. And then the other second was love.
Yes.
That love above all,
yes,
is one of the, and I think I read in Corinthians that God, you know, that love is such a powerful thing in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Love, you know, never fails.
Roy, I'd like to do this. You know, I want to just move in, so I'm going to just, we'll just skip the next break because of the time. I want to give time to talk. You mentioned love,
mm-hmm,
and how God is using you in the schools with the Keiki Oka'aina,
mm-hmm,
children of, you know, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, you know, you've been going, what's been happening, and maybe you can read some letters that these kids are writing to you, but tell us what's happening with that.
Well, what has happened is that as I started to go into schools, I realized because I had forgiven everything, practically everything in my life, as I forgave these things in my life, and I constantly search for any blockage, and if I see it, I forgive it. And because unforgiveness consumes so much time, space, and energy in our life. And when we remove this, love becomes a greater portion. And so when I go into schools, I talk to the children about our secrets that we keep. And because when we don't talk about something, that's a secret.
Yeah.
And I share with the kids that, you know, these secrets are formed because many times we're hurt by other people's words. And when we're hurt by other people's words, a lot of times we feel that, you know, we get angry.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I always tell the kids is don't let words or actions that hurt you become a part of you.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. because then if it becomes a part of them, then they're quick to retaliate all the time. Right. And I share with kids a very simple message. I say, okay, how many of you tease each other? How many of you are hurt from teasing? And then I ask this question, and this is an amazing thing. I ask the kids, how many of you right now have hurt in your lives that nobody in the world knows, not even your parents? I would say the average is 80 to 90% of the kids mm-hmm. raise their hand
wow.
immediately. Wow. And I'm talking about 6th graders, 7th graders, 8th graders, and because they don't know how to express it. And so we talk about secrets, and if you just let go one secret, mm-hmm. you've now given yourself the formula to let go of other secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is, you know, reveal is to heal.
Yes.
Because I blurted this out one day with religious leaders. I said, oh, heal. Healing enters all love. And which is true. Because mm-hmm. as you heal, you give love an opportunity to come into your life and become a greater part of your life. Mm-hmm. I want to, and you know, I've had letters, hundreds and hundreds of letters from kids. And one kid wrote, I am the bull of the school. And when you came to our school and talked to us, I went home to my housing area and I sought all my victims. That's what he said. I sought all my victims and I apologized.
Oh, wow.
And then I've been getting letters from every school where kids say that, you know, I bullied these kids. And I at recess, I went up to all the kids and I apologized. And now we're all friends.
Wow.
And I've had letters from kids that say they're a freak of nature, that nobody loves them, but, you know, they're going to find it in their heart to turn their lives around. One kid wrote, I had a fight with my best friend. He apologized to me, but I couldn't find it in my heart to forgive him. After your speech, when I went home, I told him that I forgive him. I guess you were right, because now my friendship with him is stronger than ever.
Awesome.
And another boy wrote, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have talked to my parents about my feeling. Mm. That is so important, because when I read that, I know that if he talked about his feelings, he's letting go of his secrets.
Yes.
And, you know, we cannot erase the memories of what happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
But what hurts us a lot is the emotions that we carry with those memories.
Yes.
And that's why when we talk about things, and I talk about kids, and they can let go of some of these things, then they can heal from whatever things they're trying to, the yes. emotions that are hurting them.
Yes.
And I wish I could read every single letter, because it is incredible. I showed it to a pastor, I showed the letters mm-hmm. to a counselor, and they said they were totally, totally blown away.
Wow.
So that's my passion in life, mm-hmm. is to go to schools and to make a difference in kids' lives. Even if it's 3 kids, 4 kids, mm-hmm. I will go and talk mm-hmm. to the kids.
That is awesome. You know, it's full circle, because you are a hurting child.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You yeah. are a hurting yeah. child that had so much inside. And now here God has brought you full circle. And you go back and you're ministering and you're helping to restore these and give hope to these children that might otherwise struggle and not come through and go down different paths. And as you were saying, even as adults, you know, we hold in the mm-hmm. secrets that become shame. And shame is what keeps us hiding.
Yes.
And we hide not only from each other, but we hide from God. And that's the very thing that we need most to open up to, is to open up to God and to let him in and know that he's not judging us, he's loving us.
Yeah, I always felt, see, because I'm still learning this, but I always ask people that said, you know, we pray to God and God really wants to help us, but, you know, in our human form,
yes.
in our human form, shouldn't we take that first step and try to, you know, for instance, talk about the things that we struggle with, because mm-hmm. won't God be by our side to walk with us?
Yes.
You know, it's amazing that you say that, because that's exactly what I was thinking about. And I remember your earlier story about how you came clean with your wife, well, your girlfriend at that time, as you were moving forward. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the natural, until we have that type of relationship with God, God knows that as humans, we need something tangible we can hold on to, mm-hmm. we can grab a hold to. And she was that tangible piece for you, mm-hmm. that you were able to come clean with her. And the love that God placed in her heart flowed upon you. And now look at what you're able to do mm-hmm. with young kids today.
Mm-hmm. You know, Roy, if someone listening today is saying, okay, well, I'd love for him to come to my child's school. I'd like to talk to the administration, or I'd like to talk to someone. I mean, your name is well known in the islands. Or a teacher mm-hmm. will hear this, or a principal or an administrator of some kind. Would you be open to going to a school?
Oh, definitely. To share? I don't think I've turned down an opportunity to go speak to a school or to a classroom, because it is my passion, and I feel that's my calling to help kids. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the same teacher will ask me every year to talk to her kids mm-hmm. because she's seen what it's done to her kids. She's seen how the kids have changed the very next day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's so many kids hurting today, and that's what gets them to make the bad choices in life.
Yes.
And it can start off with just being a rascal, but if it's not corrected, it's going to lead to probably getting into drugs mm-hmm. or doing things like, you just don't want to even hope that the kids go there. So it's really important for me to reach kids while they're still young. Mm-hmm. Because, I talk about things that really tends to hit the kids a little hard. And I've been to elementary schools where a sixth grader in the middle of my talk would just blurt out. And he'll say, "Help me, I'm hurting. Help me, I'm hurting. Please help me." And I look at that, and I talk to the boy, but he tells me that in front of the whole class, in front of all the sixth graders. And then after, I can bring things back to hopefully to get him to understand, and he leaves the room for lunch, the teacher comes up to me, and you know what the teacher tells me? She told me, "I would have never, never expected this to happen to that child." And I asked why. She said, "He is the happiest child in the classroom." Mm. So it shows that kids hide their yes. feelings. Yes.
Like a clown, yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The smiley face, yeah, but
they hide.
The pain, the tears behind there.
In the heart, yeah. Yes.
But I've just seen how much that when you love a child or you love people, I've been to rooms where I've talked and all of a sudden, and I believe God's helping me, I feel this love for every child in the room. Mm-hmm. And I tell the children that I love you. I love you for who you are. Mm-hmm. And, practically every child will have like watery eyes or tears in their eyes. And then the letters come. Yes. And then the letters encourage me not to stop what I'm saying or not to stop what I'm doing. Because sometimes I feel like I'm saying too much. Mm-hmm. Or I ask the Lord, am I going too deep? Mm-hmm. But it never seems. I get letters from sixth graders, 4 pages long, mm-hmm. 4 pages back and forth, wow. filled with emotions coming out of
them. Right? Can you read some more, a little bit more, of what you're
okay.
hearing from the children, students?
"You truly open my heart to forgive others and always think positive. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. You really changed my life to become a better person. I listened to every word you said and put it into play in my life." Mm. This, by the way, this is all from 1 8th grade class. Mm. "I just wanted you to know that after I thought about your talk, it really touched me in ways words can't describe. The best way I can say that it changed me is that I will try to be a better person." Here's a girl that wrote, "I love to read so much. I say to you now with the deepest admiration that the talk you gave me was one of the most eloquent, moving things I have ever heard. Mm. It truly sounded like something out of a novel." And when I read these things from kids like that, and it encourages me, as I mentioned earlier, that and every letter is touching.
Right.
You know,
Roy, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, to invite you, how would they get in touch?
They could email me. That one way they could call my business number, which is 732-3739. Or they can, I'll give them my email address. This is for those of you that would like me to come and speak. It's roy at roy@roysakuma.net. roy@roysakuma.net. And, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, somewhat, this is a, I have to say a quick one. This girl wrote, "Personally, I find myself to be a difficult person to distribute a message to, but your words planted themselves at the root of my heart. Ever since I heard your wise words, I directed myself towards the better path." I knew who wrote this, and I bumped into her about 3 months later. And you know, when you see the gleam in their eye, when you see the happiness, you know, it makes you feel so thankful. And I thank the Lord, because I know it cannot be me, that it's the Lord speaking through me. I'm just a vessel, and He's helping me to say the words to help all these kids. Mm-hmm. And so that's my, I don't want to stop doing this.
Awesome. And, you know, it is the love, you know, mm-hmm. that everyone needs to be loved. Everyone needs to be valued and feel like they're loved. And that's the balm that you give them and the hope that you give them.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's so simple and peaceful, right? Yeah. I'm a combat veteran. I'm about to write you a letter right about now.
All right. Parting word to someone today who's listening and saying, you know, I want to experience the love of God like the way Roy Sakuma has expressed. What would you say to someone like that, and someone who may be wrestling with some challenges themselves? What would you say to them? Feel God would want to say?
I would say, first of all, if they're struggling and they're lacking hope, to dream. Because dreams bring hope. And so it's fine to dream, because it gives you the hope to get through your struggles in life. And also, if you just can find God and the Lord, to just that first step, if it looks a blur to you, just take that first step towards the Lord, because that's what I did, not knowing, but I took each step. And you know, I prayed to God, I don't know why, but I prayed to God could I come closer to Him slowly, step by step, because I wanted to learn every little thing. Mm. And I think it's just believing that the Lord is always going to be there with you, mm-hmm. that God loves everyone. We are all children. We are all children of God.
This has been a special rebroadcast, part of the Classics Collection. Our featured guest today was Roy Sakuma. A scripture for today that I believe will encourage you is from James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Roy Sakuma. Until next time, along with my co-hosts, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry and Leslie Silva, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
laser vision correction technology is currently being conducted at McMahon Eye Institute. This clinical study will monitor the results of our LASIK procedures, including patient comfort, post-operative healing, and final vision outcomes. To qualify for this LASIK clinical study, you must be between the ages of 21 and 65, wear glasses or contacts most of the time, and be willing to complete all pre- and post-operative appointments. Dr. McMahon's 2020 money-back guarantee will be available to each patient. All applicants will receive a free LASIK evaluation to determine candidacy. Participants will be awarded a clinical study allowance representing a substantial cost reduction off the normal price of the procedure. Participation in this LASIK clinical study will be limited to the first 200 qualified candidates. Call 677-2733, that's 677-2733, or oahulasik.com.
Vacations Hawaii, KHON2, and 95.5 The Fish presents Hawaii's biggest and best Veterans Day event on Friday, November 11th at Wet Wild, Hawaii. All active duty, retired military, reservist, and Army National Guard get free admission.
Say what?
Yep, free admission with a military ID and a full day of fun in the sun. Enjoy your favorite rides like the Raging River,
Island Racer,
and Tornado, or try your skill at the Flow Rider. See new cars from Honolulu Buick GMC. Enjoy rodeo games and ride the mechanical bull for a chance to win a trip for two to Las Vegas, courtesy of Vacations Hawaii, to enjoy the American Country Awards on December 5th. Extend your Veterans Day celebration all weekend long with a $19.99 admission with your military ID. Get your tickets today at the gate or go to wetwildhawaii.com. Veterans Day, Friday, November 11th. Military getting free with ID. Brought to you by Honolulu Buick GMC,
KHON2,
Sprint Hawaii,
Army National Guard,
and 95.5 The Fish.
Ina have been going to the Shorebird for 32 years. Some of us grew up there. Some take guests from out of town there, while others have yet to experience this Kama'aina classic. The Shorebird featured free karaoke nightly from 9:30 to 2 a.m., late night happy hour from 10 p.m., all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., daily happy hours from noon to 5 p.m., beach front lunches daily, and oceanfront dining nightly. All this and only at the Shorebird on the beach in the Outrigger Reef Hotel with effortless valet parking.
Hey, fish families, thanks for coming to Wake Up Wednesday last week at the Patisserie Waimalu. I'll be there again December 7th for the next Wake Up Wednesday. Meanwhile, enjoy all of the amazing food at the Patisserie Waimalu, open every day at 98-1277 Ka'apumanu Street in the Waimalu Shopping Plaza. All donuts, Danish, and yummy breakfast items are preservative-free and contain zero trans fats. The cakes are all three layers, and every sandwich is fresh, made to order on your choice of homemade breads. Special occasion cakes, cupcakes, and cookies are perfect for weddings, birthdays, graduations, yakudoshi parties, anniversaries, and baby showers. Remember to email your Just Because nominations to justbecause@gmail.com. Call the Patisserie Waimalu at 484-1297. That's 484-1297 to order your treats. And look for us opening soon at Ward Warehouse, the Patisserie, where quality is our daily bread. ThePatisserie.com.
We're making it fun while you're at work. 95.5 The Fish.
Ooh. whole family.